As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Every Tuesday, we head to City Hall and head down the 7 line, cross over to Morton, knock on the mayor's door, and there's our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, Mike. Good to be with you again.
Did you get all that luggage unpacked from your trip to the West Coast? Well, we know that was a busy time for you. You were in Columbus. We've got all kinds of things going on locally. Ready, fire, aim. Let's go. How was your trip to San Francisco or to Palo Alto? Excuse me. Well, that's the general area. It's the we don't have to say the tri-state area or something silly like that.
The Bay Area, we
know what that means. But Palo Alto is our sibling city, and you were out there. Tell us what you saw.
Well, the travels went smoothly. That was good. And I saw our name in front of City Hall and in the heart of Silicon Valley. That was kind of cool. They have a really nice poll kind of with a list of a bunch of cities and directions, and Bloomington's, 2,000 miles to the east southeast from Palo Alto.
How was your drive out there, by the way? Did you guys carpool? Yeah. How'd that go?
We had a really nice visit. A couple different highlights. One, the Jacobs School of Music took a quartet out, their top graduate school quartet, with their debut performance, the O'Neill Quartet, and they did an unbelievable program in downtown Palo Alto to, 100 plus people, and standing O and kind of shining for the Jacobs School, and they did a master class at Stanford the day before, so that was kind of a cool cultural exchange. We participated in the Palo Alto, actually it was kind of the South Bay Climate Summit that had a top D.C. energy official and mayor and state senator, and I was on a panel there too talking about what's going on, and that, they're California, just to put a scale on this, California just committed $50 billion to climate work as a state. And so it was just interesting to talk about and see part of that. And then we had good business meetings too. And the IU Alumni Association did a wonderful event. Former President Tom Ehrlich was there, which was really cool. He lives out there now. So it was a really good exchange. We had about over a dozen people from here go out there, and Rotarians doing stuff, and school, the Ivy Tech had a representative. So it was a really good visit.
Outstanding. And this is the first of many. What is this relationship looking to foster and the next steps? What are you guys looking at? What are we, I guess, all together here? There is no frog in my pocket. What are we looking to? What are we looking to improve? Culture is easy, but are we trying to steal business ideas, governmental ideas? What was the genesis behind getting together?
Yeah, so Sibling City kind of talks about three pillars of connection. One is community, so kind of the cultural, the students, the arts, the Rotarian clubs and such. The second is commerce, so it is looking at business opportunities between the two cities, and those discussions are going on. I like to say it's a win-win. We don't want to steal anything. What we want to do is identify mutual advantage in relationships and opportunities. Our housing is about one-tenth the price of their housing. But we have students just as smart as any of their students, and we have a need for equity investments that may be more efficient out here than out there. So there's a lot of opportunity for that. And then the third pillar is called civil discourse, and we actually had a meeting on that too, but trying to knit the country together to keep people in different, with different perceptions of each other, a blue state and a red state, a coastal city and a Midwestern city, to try to make sure we don't treat each other as alien beings, but as part of the same country and part of the same interests. So that may get involved in kind of civic engagement, civic discussions like that. So we kind of let and see where this goes. This was our first big visit there. They had a big visit to us. We've had a couple smaller ventures out there, and I think they're talking about coming out here in the spring from Palo Alto.
Very cool. And we always talk about, we get more done together than we do apart. So anytime we can foster ideas or culture or, as you mentioned in those three pillars, anything that's, yeah, let's make a positive contribution. Shall we? So they'll be here in the springtime. Okay, good. You didn't want them to come this week. It's the weather's awful.
They didn't sign up for early February trips.
I noticed that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure, you know.
Well, what's the old joke about the coldest winter anybody's ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. So it's not like they have it. They have it all wonderfully. Now, did you guys just in Palo Alto the entire time, or did you get a chance to get up and down the peninsula at all?
People got around, you know, all the business and formal stuff was in Palo Alto, but I know some people made it to see some redwoods.
Beautiful.
I know some people made it to Sausalito.
Yep.
I happen to know some people made it out onto San Francisco Bay, you know, so there was some time just to see that great city, too, which is, you know, got a great history and a really beautiful place.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places on the planet. Climate's great, and everything else that goes with it's pretty good as well. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon, and as you were gone, business rolled along, and we knew we had November 9th circled on our calendar as we spoke on Election Day last Tuesday of the county commissioners in their one-sentence agenda. And now we know, what they have, and now they have volleyed the ball back into the city's court, and they're going to do so through a capital improvement board. I know that's something we have spoke about here on this program multiple times, and that's not your favorite thing. Tell me the reaction and where we go from here from the city's point of view.
Yeah, well, first, a lot of this is kind of inside baseball, what kind of structure we have and, you know, what acronym describes the overseeing body and such for a new convention center. So it was pretty surprising that the commissioners, with notice to nobody, actually passed a capital improvement board in about a 12-minute meeting, and their staff didn't know about it was coming. The resolution they passed was obviously put together pretty quickly. It's got a bunch of uncertainties, and anyway, it was really a surprise, and you know, that's not typically what we look forward to in my line of work. But we're still working on it. I'm still optimistic. That was a bit of an interesting meeting with that kind of surprise gambit. I don't want this to be a game. It shouldn't be a game. It really should focus on how to get this thing built, which we will continue to do, and we'll be sharing some ideas. And then ultimately, look, democracy works. You know, various entities, city council, county council, commissioners, mayor, will decide among the majority of us what we want to do, and we'll go forward, or we won't. I'm still optimistic that we will, but that was a bit of a surprise last Wednesday.
And if it's a good idea, the cynic in me would always say, well, just present it as a good idea. And then games of nation states, it just feels like this whole experience since it's been rekindled has been I don't know how to put it. This is not going to be a case study for how things get done, is it?
No, I do think it's been a case study for, look, and as I've said before, there are people who are less enthusiastic about this, and even some have been against it, voted against it, or didn't sign on to memorandum of understanding that we're supporting it, and that's totally fine. It is difficult to navigate. These are hard projects. They're complicated. They take a lot of energy and commitment and leadership, and if there are people who are just kind of not so keen on it, it can make it very difficult, which is one of the reasons we really tried to identify and will continue to identify ways to move forward. Somebody asked me, will you compromise? And I said, of course, I'll always compromise on how to get something done. I do not want to compromise on the goal of having an excellent, outstanding asset for the city. I don't want to compromise on, you know, getting something that's kind of half-baked and not a great project. So, you know, I'm open to talking about how to get something done. I just have to be confident that it's going to be an excellent product for the city, and we haven't, that process hasn't worked very well so far, but we'll keep plugging at it, and we'll see, and life, you know, turn a page, it'll be okay. And if it gets done and it gets done well, 5 years from now, people won't remember. Was it a CIB?
That's what you can't, right.
Was it a 501c3 and all that stuff? That won't matter. So
that's, we'll, how the sausage is made is interesting because of the rules and responsibility and state laws that go with the way that this needs to be.
You just have to keep inspecting sausage factories, Mike, from your perspective. So
I like sausage, though. That's good. That might work out. The other thing that's interesting about it is there is a timeline on the ordinance. What is the gravitas of January 1, 2023?
Well, you know, we've been pushing to get this thing quick, so I'm not against pace in any way. It's, you know, look, again, it's kind of inside baseball, but the county does not need the mayor's permission to create a CIB. They created one. They've passed an ordinance that said we create one. It's a little weird to put in an ordinance that says the mayor needs to support this for this to go into effect. That's that's just a very strange thing to put in the law, and they don't need me to approve it. Anyway, but We want to get it moving as quickly as possible. You know, we've been trying since spring and summer. So I'm not at all against speed. We just want to make sure something good gets going, and we'll keep plugging.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest every Tuesday just after 4 o'clock. He joins us from City Hall, and, well, it's good to be back in City Hall after your trip. But you've been cruising around southern Indiana as well. Tell me what's going on in Columbus.
Well, yeah, I was just over in Columbus today with Mayor Lennep, Republican mayor, and our city just, 40 miles east or whatever. They, we had this joint regional climate summit convening back in early October, the first time that had been done in our state anyway, and it was really a good gathering to talk about this issue of how are we going to adapt to climate change, how are we going to mitigate climate change and move forward. And this was a follow-up meeting, a smaller meeting than that 100 people, and this was just 8 or 10 people talking about the next stages. And we don't have anything public, but they were really good discussions, a good meeting. Bartholomew County, Brown County, Monroe County, we're all together there thinking about how we move forward. Private sector, foundations, university, healthcare, plus government. So I'm pleased. I don't, it'll be a couple few weeks, maybe more, that we come out with what comes next. But it was a really good visit. Jim Lennep's a terrific guy, and they have a beautiful city hall. By the way, their city hall is a combined police department city hall, so that was instructive as we're looking at that. That was, got to poke my head through their police department and all. That was good.
Well, it's not, yes, you can, again, and you were in Palo Alto as well, you can see how others do it while trying to find the best thing to put it together. When you talk about the things you talk about with the mayor in Columbus, the action on these projects, is that something you're hoping in? What is the window there? Or is this just to get the ball rolling and then try to figure out a timeline? Or what's the vision for everything moving forward?
Yeah, Columbus was interesting. They've done a fair amount of kind of task forces that are inclusive of government and private sector and other institutions that try to advance the ball. I think from the climate convening that we did, we heard a lot of encouragement to continue the regional collaboration and the focus on climate. And the focus on federal resources that are out there, for example, what can we do together to try to bring some of those in to our communities? And I think what we're talking about is what kind of structure would let that proceed, what kind of time frame, over maybe do a kind of a 3-year commitment to move this as we, and see how it goes, annual reporting to the public. But look, this is all about every institution is dealing with climate change, whether you're talking about, bigger rains are hitting us or energy bills are up, or if you're talking about what are we going to do to reduce our carbon footprint and, reduce single occupancy vehicles, and companies are, Tassus in Bloomington is a Toyota supplier, and they have to get to net zero by a certain date to be a Toyota supplier. So everybody's got their head in this game, and this is trying to figure out how to help us together move forward in ways, learning from each other, helping each other accomplish objectives. So that's what I hope will come out of this.
Well, other than that, not much going on. You're right. Good point. Good point there. John Hamilton is our guest. He is the mayor of the great city of Bloomington. And as we, well, when you were gone over the weekend, we've had some deer hunts going on in Griffey Lake. We'll do that again this weekend as well. You had a prescribed burn as middle of last week. Everything with that went great. I didn't hear anything. So that's the old quintessential no news is good news, right?
Definitely, definitely. No news on a controlled burn is just what you want to hear.
So. Exactly, exactly right. Well, we had some wind issues and everything else, so glad that's good because it's good for the park.
Speaking of which, I went to a museum in Palo Alto, and they had an exhibit on fire, and you can imagine, you know.
Oh, 1906, earthquake.
Well, fire. No, this was on the forest fires around them.
Oh, recently, even that?
Paradise Fire and all that was pretty close to them, so thinking about what that means, you know, that's quite poignant to realize their drought and their fire threats out there, you know, they're ever present. They had a day back in 2021, was it last year, that essentially the sun didn't rise. It was so
orange
in San Francisco. It was just like out of a movie, you know, and how, you know, this is interesting too. California now believes they have as many people dying every day from smoke and air pollution impact as they do from car crashes, just because of the, you know, the particulate matters that have, you know, they were cleaning up their air, but now the natural smoke stuff's causing all these problems. So anyway, so look, you know, there's a lot to work on. So our fire burn is a very different thing from what they experience out there. Whew.
Exactly right, and the climate change that they're facing is very interesting. Same extremes, just different things of extremes, and it is very real, absolutely. Now, the city of Bloomington, you guys have downtown outreach grants. I saw that today, and you're inviting 501c3 organizations to apply for city funding for projects that will help improve the human condition of Bloomington residents who are unhoused or in the jeopardy of becoming homeless. We know that this is, and speaking of homeless issues, boy, maybe not in Palo Alto, but right north of there. My goodness.
They had it in Palo Alto, too. They got.
Well, everybody has it. I think that's the issue.
Everywhere, yeah.
So this is, again, another chapter in your book of trying to help remedy this in some way, shape, or form.
People often aren't aware of all the stuff going on, and there's no reason. There's a lot going on, but you know, every year we give about $250,000 or so. That's city money. I believe it comes from actually the parking revenue downtown. So it's focusing on reinvesting some of that into downtown enhancement, particularly responding to people with homeless issues, mental health issues, and others. And so we've been doing this program for a while, and it's run out of the Community and Family Resources Division in Beverly Callender Anderson, and just trying to reinvest some of that funding to help our community do better and have people do better. So we do welcome partnerships. This is an ongoing annual thing where we, on behalf of the community, reinvest some of that money back into improving the lot for our fellow residents.
And every little bit can help, especially this time of year when the weather perhaps doesn't help in that. So it's not a seasonable. That's not a word, is it? Seasonal. It's not a seasonal issue, is it? It is 365, 52 weeks, and
it is. Though it's good to mention that we have enhanced places, shelters where people can go during the winter. Those numbers of beds go up with our partners who do that, Wheeler Mission, Beacon, Middleway, and others, New Hope for Families. They all are helping expand the capacity in the winter. There really is a bed for anybody who needs one to get out of the weather. Not everybody chooses to do that, but we want to make sure that we have a safe place as the weather gets more dangerous.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, all we can do is keep trying. You can't just give up, can you? I don't think that would be.
this community doesn't give up. We keep here keeps going.
What's been the response?
That's true for athletic process, athletic
you name it,
and for our community, right? We just keep trying.
Everything else, the Kirkwood and West Kirkwood and around the square, the parklets are gone. Parklet season is over. This is a very popular question. Who puts Parklet season or the closing of Kirkwood back on the table next spring? I want to nip this in the bud now. I don't want to be asked about it for the next 4 months. Tell me how this process works so I can share with the others who just might not tune in at 4:05 on Tuesdays.
City Council makes those decisions, and they will be teed up. I fully expect that we'll have another Parklet season and closing next year. We do that in combination with the merchants to talk with them, but ultimately we make a recommendation from my administration to the council. It's ultimately a council vote on closing a street like that or creating that. And again, I think it's going well. I think we're overall happy with that direction, and I expect it'll be very similar to that next year. And over time, we'll just see how that evolves, but that's who decides the event.
So the business owners come to you or the council and say, hey, we'd love to have this changed. That's how that works.
Yeah, look, we meet regularly with the downtown business district and their organizations that represent them, and we're at the table with them and hear from them, and we talk regularly every month. And, yeah, that's how that conversation goes, and then ultimately City Council votes on it.
There you go, folks. That's how it works. The businesses are not force-fed. The closures, they're not. That's not how this works, right? I just want to make sure we get that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I would. There's something. Not every business necessarily agrees with it.
Sure, but we majority
to the
rules,
majority, and then the city council votes, and that's how that ultimately happens.
I'm writing that down on my whiteboard and taking a picture. Okay. So if anybody says how does that? Well, I want people to know. I think that's half the consternation is if you don't know how the sausage is made, don't get mad at the sausage. It's not the sausage's fault. It's just there to be cased and cooked and eaten, and it's delicious. But you got to make it. That's how this deal works. I tell you what, stay warm. I bet you had you missed the last couple nice days here. But I told you last week.
You warned me
when you got back. It was going to be cold, I didn't want to be right. But here we are. Here we are again. I will be here next Tuesday. If you'd love to come on for the Tuesday pre-Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve program, we'd love to have you.
Yep, that sounds good to me. We can talk about our menus or something.
See, get me. That's exactly right. Wear your sweatpants. That's another Thanksgiving tradition. And we'll talk about all the delightful culinary treats.
You put sweatpants on before Thanksgiving, too?
Well, just in case. I got to make sure they fit. Okay. It's preventative medicine. That's right.
All right.
Thanks,
John.
I'll
see you next week.
Great job, buddy.
Have a good week. Take care.